Jesus. As we have gathered here today, we come to glorify your name. We come to praise you, God, for you are God, and we've come here to lift you up. You're so worthy. Thank you how you protect us. Thank you how you provide provisions for us. Thank you for your love for us. We give you praise. Thank you for sending your son who died on Calvary's cross in our place. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Move me out the way, God, that you may get the glory. And I come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank God. And amen. God is good. And I said a little earlier that there is no word could even be thought of to describe the greatness of our God. He's an awesome God. I need your prayers this morning. My heart is full. I just got out of Sunday school, and then this morning, and the presence of God is awesome in this place. I thank him for being my God. I want to say good morning to everyone. I give honor and I praise our Heavenly Father, and I praise his Son, Jesus Christ. Also, I want to thank again Pastor Tony for how he asked me if I would speak, and I'm speaking today, and so I thank God for him allowing me to do this today. Now let's bow our heads. I know it sounds like we had already prayed, or did we just pray? I told you to pray for me. I feel like I want to fly. Have you ever felt like that? You feel like you just want to go away and just fly up to him. Hallelujah. God is good. Sometimes I can be quite emotional, and I can't help myself because he's so good to me. Hallelujah. And as I had been seeking the Lord and asking him to give me what he wanted me to speak on about this morning, and of course he has done that. I had something already and thinking that it was him wanting me to talk on one thing, but he spoke to me, no, I want you to speak on this. Amen. And so know that it's his topic and not mine. And the topic is living in perilous times. Amen? Amen. Living in perilous times. And how many of you see that we are in perilous times? Amen? We are. So much is going on in the world today. But you know what? I thank God for Jesus. Somebody was just talking about peace. He will give us peace in the midst of a storm. Hallelujah. And the word perilous means a source of danger, risk, disaster, or risk. And the Lord gave me two scriptures in particular. And I got so on the first one that he had to bring me back to that second scripture. Amen? Amen. And before I go any further, I'm just going to call out both of the scriptures. And the one we're going to be focusing on right now, the ones he gave me, is 2 Timothy. And we're going to be looking at chapter 3. And as I'm going to say, and I'll say it again, a lot of times we don't like to hear certain kinds of messages. But everything in this book is for our learning, so that we can know what God requires of us. We can know where we're headed. We can know that we have confidence in Him. And even if something is being said or some message sounds negative, it is not negative, because God wants us to know that. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll repeat that again. The topic is living in perilous times. And I just gave you what that means. And right now we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Going to be starting at verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing this letter to young Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor, and Paul is his kind of his father, and he's teaching little Timothy, young Timothy. Amen? So what does this say? Just because you're young, God can't use you? No, sorry, Bob. He can use you in mighty ways. Amen? And so the scripture goes on to say, the Apostle Paul is saying to young Timothy, and he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From," he's telling Timothy, "turn away from that kind of a situation." Amen? And so, we see here that to talk about perilous times, one of the first things we can know, there are perilous times. Turn on your TV. Turn on your radio. And we know the paper isn't as open as it used to be, but you know what? Read the newspaper. And that can tell us that we're in perilous times. Amen?
Amen.
Time of turmoil, stress, problems. A lot of things are going on in this world. Amen?
Amen?
And the Apostle Paul is saying to young Timothy, in the last days, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are in those last days.
Amen.
Amen? We are in those last days. It hasn't come to the peak yet, but we are in those days. And I'll tell you something, too. The more you draw to Jesus, the more you're going to be targeted with all kinds of stress in your life. How do I know that? Because of my life. He does not want anybody to know Jesus in a rooted, grounded way. He wants us to sing and clap and come to church and meet our friends and all those kinds of things. But church is much more than that. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I can't help but to talk like that. I can't help but to raise my hand, because I know who He is for me. And I know the perilous times I have and I go through, and I have seen Him move them. Do you hear me? And if they have not been moved, the peace, his peace, just overflows me. Hallelujah. The peace of God will keep you in perfect peace. Hallelujah. And so, look at the television. Listen to the radio. And look at the newspaper. Now, what I want us to see here is these people who the Apostle Paul is referring young Timothy to, these people come from among every group of people in the world. Some of these people that have this kind of an attitude, they're rich. Some of them are middle class. Some of them are poor. They come from all backgrounds, all colors, all nationalities. These people that's going to be in this latter time coming on. And you know what? The enemy is at his work. You know, I can say this for a fact, and that is, I don't know about you, but I can see where I intimidate the enemy. Because he don't like me. No, he doesn't like me. Because he know I'm determined. I thank him today for being my God. I thank him for every problem. I thank him for every situation I've gone through. Am I still going through? Yes, I am. But I know who holds my future. Let me say this to you. I don't know what my future holds. Hallelujah. I don't know what is in my future, but one thing I can say, and that is this, I know that I know that I know that I know who holds my future. He holds my future. I don't know my future, and I don't know what's in it, but he knows. And I'm so glad about him. I just don't know. I get so excited about him. In the Sunday school, they can tell you. I say, you know, Vivian gets a little excited sometimes. And you know, because I can feel the presence of God. The presence of God is with us. And I was telling the class just this morning, we got to come to the place where we can recognize that we have power. When we know Jesus, he gives us power. We don't have to be afraid. I was telling them how I used to be so afraid to get up to do anything for the Lord, I would forget my name. But he brought me out of that. And I made a promise to him. God, people used to call me to come talk and, you know, all that. And I said to God, God, I will not refuse anyone else that you send to have me to come and talk for you. Amen. Have I been 100%? No. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not where I want to be. But I can tell you I'm not where I was. Do you hear me? This great God gives us power. And we don't have to be afraid of what's going on in this world. Oh, bless his name. We don't have to be fearful. When God wants you to speak, say, Lord, I know it's not me. Take over. I got to say this, and then I'm going to move on real quick. The Lord let me experience twice since I've come to him over the years, twice, to not be with me as I'm bringing a message. Twice, I knew that it was me trying to bring the message. I had fasted, I had prayed, but God wanted me to see the difference between when he take over and when I try to do it myself. You need his power to do his work. You need power from on high. Hallelujah. And the Lord brought to me one time that I have an apple tree in my backyard, and he brought me to that window, and he said to me, you see them apples? It was in the spring. You see those apples on that tree? You can't see how big they're getting, but they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that is the power of God that's caused that apple to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And God let me know, that's how I want you to be. Let me put my power in you so that you can be bigger in me. So that you'll be able to do the things I want you to do. Put you behind. Don't you try to do it. Let God do it. Hallelujah. And that's how I can tell you I know about fear. But the longer you sit back and be fearful and don't get up and try to do what God says to do, you're going to stay like that. You're just going to be a bench believer, a bench Christian. We are supposed to be going about our Father's business. And I said to the group this morning, I used to go everywhere talking to the people, telling them about Jesus, me and some groups. We'd go here and we'd pray, and you could see the people would be lifted up. By the time we left the nursing home and the homes, you could see the power of God had raised them up a little bit. And I was thinking about that one day. My husband and I were just sitting together, and I was just thinking about that. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I wish I could do those things back yonder that I used to do. And he said to me, oh, bless his name. He said to me, now it's time for you to be with your family. You hear me? And ever since then, I have a sister sick, I had a mother sick, I have a sister living with me, I have a husband sick, and God want me to minister to them. Amen? Amen. But I told him, whatever happens down the road, I want to be back out there. You hear me?
That's right.
I want to be back out there. Oh, God is good. He is so good. Now, the people that we're talking about, we talked about, they come from every background. Some are rich, some are middle class, and some are poor. And they're people who have no respect for God, and they have no respect for other people. And they do what they want to do. And all of this is going to be a part of that, the last days, because we are in those last days. Amen? Now, we just talked about what perilous mean. A source of danger, risk, disaster, and ruin. That's something else. Ruin. That's danger. All of that. But we're in the midst of all of this perilous that's going on. But one thing I can tell you, no matter how wicked they are, I don't care what their intent is, guess what? Jesus died for them too. Amen? There is nobody on the face of the earth that Jesus can't raise up, that Jesus can't set free. We have an awesome God. That's the only word I use. He's awesome to be able to, him being the great God, and he come down and little old me and little old you, and he comes inside of us and do his work and his will in us. That is, if we accept it. Amen? You got to want to do the service of God. You got, and I was telling my class too, this, that I pray, God, pour your love in me for you. I can't love God on my own. He has to put his love in me so that I can love him. Can't do it on my own. Can't love people on my own, because I'll tell you, there's some people that are not too lovable. They're not too lovable. But you want to know something? God still wants me to do right by him. You hear me? I could be doing all the work I want to do out there and going for God and doing this for God. And if I'm the way that I am, God don't like that. Because he loved those people that's awful and wicked. He loved them too. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough to read the Bible. It's just not enough. Just like pastors talk sometimes. That stuff got to come out. You got to be, I think Paul said that, we have to be walking epistles. What we walk, what we teach, what we talk, we have to walk it. Amen? So it's not enough. What did James say? Don't be a hearer. Back then, only that we didn't have the Bible like we do now. So I say to God, I don't want to be just a hearer and a reader. I want to be a doer. Amen? Be a doer of the word. And I'll tell you something. I went back to John, the 14th chapter, and I have to do that because I can tell you, and I told the people before, I used to be a wavery saint. How many of you can admit the fact that you were wavery at one time in your life? I was wavery. Sometime I believed, sometime I didn't. And I knew it. But you know what? God fixed it. You know how he fixed it? You know how he fixed it? He took me to John. He took me to St. John, the 14th chapter. Do you hear me? All right, to the 14th chapter. And he said this, starting at the 15th verse. And this is talking about how he said in 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Listen, I learned this many, many years ago. The only thing we can give God is our obedience. That shows we love him. If you don't love me, then you're not going to do what I tell you to do. And this is how it starts here. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then I'm going to skip all the way down to 21. This is where he took me out of being so wavery. I can tell you because I was wavery. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Amen? Amen? So it goes along with love. If you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And the thing about it is, when you love him, he knows it. And he said to me, Vivian, if you love me, keep my word. Keep my word. And so he says here, and what I will do, I will bless you by showing me to you. Amen. Amen. Listen, I began to see God doing all kinds of supernatural things in my life. I could just say, Lord, I sure wish I had a bottle of this kind of soda or something else.
And he'd say to me, go to Wagner's. Look at here. I would go to Wagner's, and then I'd go to the other store to see which one was the cheapest. And I would go to Wagman's, and there's the soda that I want, and it was cheaper. I mean, I could just give you an example. My kids can tell you. I could just say something. I said something last week, and it came to pass. Do you hear me?
Yes.
That's because he is the one who's manifesting himself to me, to make me know who he is. I don't have to try to get a scripture and try to hold on to it and claim this and claim, because that's what I used to do. They would say when I'd watch the evangelist, get a scripture and stand on it and believe it. Well, I couldn't believe it because I didn't have the strength to believe it, because the devil would come along and there would be a turmoil. I wanted to believe, but I couldn't. I wanted to believe, but I didn't. Now I'm telling you how it was. But when he showed me this, God himself, I'm making a promise to you, Vivian. Yes, he's talking to the disciples, but I'm one of them.
That's right. Amen.
I'm one of them disciples. I'm still learning. Going to continue to learn until I get in the grave. But the thing about it is, he's the one who caused me to not be wavery. Because he will say something and it will come to pass. He will say, told me to, I'd be doing something, can't find an earring or something. And he'd say, go and finish dressing up, and when you come back, I'll show you the earring. Guess what? When I come back from doing what he told me to go and do, the earring would be there. I'm telling you how God wants to live in us and want us to know who he is. I did a teaching on once about knowing God intimately. How could I teach something like that if I didn't know him intimately for myself? And I'm still learning him day by day, intimately. He did not send the Holy Spirit for us to just do what we want to do, what come in our thinking. The church didn't even start until the Holy Spirit came. Do you hear me? The church didn't start until after the day of Pentecost. And the one who was supposed to lead the church, lead us as believers, he was missing until day of Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
I'll say in the fullness, because he always was. The Holy Spirit always was. He's one of the triune three. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what got me where to the place where I know God. I know him for myself. And if he tells me something, it comes to pass. I'm not being boastful. No. That's not what I'm being. I'm telling you how I became unwavering. Unwavering. And why should I keep that to myself? Tell it to somebody else. Tell it to somebody. Give your testimony to somebody else so they can be encouraged. So they can come along. Do I err or make mistakes? Yes, I do. Do I have all the answers? No, I don't. But guess what? I know who do have all the answers.
Amen.
God is good. And so let's go back now. We're talking about these people. Who Paul is talking about here to Timothy. They're wicked people, they're evil people, but I still love them. I still love them. And so, we talked about 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. Now we're going to go to Matthew 16. 1 through 4, just for a few minutes. We're going to see what's happening here. Let's go to Matthew real quick. See, the Holy Spirit had me to throw them things out to you so that you can know how he worked in my life
as a fearful person, he can do the same thing in your life as a fearful person. Amen? You won't be afraid to talk or tell people at the store when they're putting your groceries in. Oh, do you know, what church do you go to? You know how I learned how to witness? I learned how to witness because I saw how Jesus witnessed in the fourth chapter when he was talking to the Samaritan woman. They started talking about natural things and ended up talking about godly things. Amen? That's how I started. When I see somebody or something come along or whatever, I say, isn't this a beautiful day? All right, where are we at here? See, I get excited. God is good. We're going to be going to the 16th chapter of Matthew. We're going to be done soon, Pastor. They know me. They know me in our class. They know me. And they know I get excited. But I can't help myself. And you know what? I don't apologize for it either. Because I don't know my future. And I don't know what my future holds for me. But I know who holds it. Whoo, bless his name. And that's how come I can't stop. All right, let's see here. This is the 16th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to start at verse 1. And this is what's happening here. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting him that he should show them a sign from heaven. Number 2, he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowry. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? This is what we're talking about. There are signs all around us. These leaders of Jews wanted a sign. And Jesus made it clear. You're looking for a natural sign, but you haven't been looking for the signs of his coming. Amen? He's coming, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, whether I get too complacent in this world or not, he's still coming. He's coming, and know that. And that's how come it's so good for you to be grounded in the word of God, be grounded in your faith in God. So as we're going through these troubled days and troubled times, we know who holds our what? Future. All right. Now, let's look at this. Many things, many unusual things are happening in these days that we're going through those perilous times. Amen? Amen. One of them is the sun is getting closer to the earth. That is causing climate change. And all you got to do is go back, and we don't have time, I know we don't, and go back to 2 Peter 2:10-13 and see what that is saying. Peter is saying, and God gave him that everything is going to start in heaven. The sun going to be burning up. The stars going to burn up. And guess what? We're going to have a what? A new heaven and a new earth. And we don't have to get all complacent and all bent out of shape because of what's going on in this world today. The Bible lets us know this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're just passing by. And we are not to get too settled in this home, in this place. Now, what else is going on? Remember, God made a covenant with Noah. I believe it's the 6th chapter, if I'm not mistaken. And he told Noah, I'm never going to destroy the world again with water, with a flood. I won't ever do that again. He said, in Peter, he said, but the next time it's going to be with what? Fire. Amen. All right.
So fire is what's going to destroy this world. And we see how the sun is coming closer to the earth. And we are not supposed to get uptight about it, because he already told us it's going to start in heaven. The stars are going to melt. The moon, everything is going to melt. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. And if you know Jesus, if you know Jesus and about his business, you're going to be in that new heaven. Amen. 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 Let's see now what else. So the earth is going to start with fire. This time it's going to end with fire. Now let's look down again. This world will not be, oh, the virus. Look at the virus. They say this is one of the worst ones we've ever had, that we've never had a virus this long before. Am I correct? That's what I'm hearing, that we've never had a virus to last so long. It's not just in the United States, people. It's all over the world. This is a world thing. What'd be more of a sign than saying that this got to be God? He's not just looking at one nation, one country, one people. He's looking at the whole world, because he made the whole world. He's concerned about the whole world. And that's why he's teaching us something. He's showing us something. But are we attuned to his signs that he's sending? Just like he said to those Pharisees and those Sadducees. He said, now you can discern what's going on in the sky, but you can't discern what's going to happen in the later years. You need to be watching the signs of things that's going to come to place until he come back. Amen. But I could just go on and on and on, but you know what? I got to stop. I just want to say this, and then I'm closing. Pastor, you just, I'll be ready in a minute. And I don't mean to be comical. That's not what I'm talking about. I want everybody in this class to study Revelation 21. We have something in store for us, a new heaven and a new earth. And he's sitting there. Lord, have mercy. All right. Now, I'm going to say something about my Martin Luther King. Number one, before I go there, one thing that the God that I know wanted his people to know, and he voiced it many times in the Word of God, that is love one another. Love one another. Love them like I love you. Not a half-hearted love. One lady told me one time, she said, I love you, but I don't like you. Show me that in the Bible. I can love you, but I don't like you. That's what was said to me one time. Let me say, that is the glue that we have coming together as a body of people. We are supposed to be grounded together in love, in active love. Don't just say it with your lips. Say it with the things that you do. Express your love. Show your love. I think it's James talks about, now, you can say, have a good day, and you got problems, but I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for you. That's not enough. What are you going to do? You need to go in your refrigerator. You need to go in your freezer. Take one of them hams out. Take one of them roasting chickens out. Show them that you care about them. You got it? The same thing. We can know about Jesus' signs and all the things that's coming around in this sinful world, in this world that's all messed up. But guess what? Oh, God, I thank you. But guess what? We can show him that we love him by obeying him. The Word of God is the way that we can know who God is. We can know him through his Word. And I said in that other group, yes, on our door, there is a question, is Jesus the only way? He is the only way. And what we want to do, we need to know that, But we first got to know it ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
Is Jesus the only way for me? Yes. He's the only way. He's the only one that has salvation. Buddha, Mohammed, just a waste of time. But he still loves them. God is good, and I'm going to close. But I want you to remember one thing, and that is this. I don't know what is in my future, and I don't know what my future holds for me, but I know who holds my future. Bless his name.